Karen Middleton's a political editor, the political editor for The Guardian Australia. She's based in Canberra. Plenty going on this week. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Catherine.
I'm really interested in what's happening with student loan relief and the particular vehicle that's been used to, assist those with loans to the tune of billions, Karen.
Yeah, look, this has been a big issue that's been plaguing the government for a while. I mean, obviously, we're all struggling with the cost of living at the moment, and that's in all domains. But the students, tertiary students, who have to pay an enormous amount to go to university and effectively borrow money from the government to do that, are really struggling because of the way the government loans have been set up. They have been pegged to the consumer price index, inflation, basically. And that means that each year those loans rise by the equivalent of inflation. The problem is that inflation has been outstripping wages. So the way our loan system works, the higher education contribution scheme, it's called, is when you finish your uni degree and then you go into the workforce, as soon as your income hits a particular threshold, and that can vary according to what kind of degree you've got, you have to start paying the loan back. You start repaying the loan. But the wages of those overall are not keeping up with inflation, so the loan is increasing at a greater rate than you can pay it off. What the government's going to do is change the way that is indexed and index it to the wage price index instead, which is the relationship between prices and wages, and that is a lower figure. So effectively, last year, the loans went up by 7.1%, which was just horrendously punishing. What this move will do, and it'll be done in the context of next week's federal budget here, will effectively reverse that measure, and it'll give people back on average something like $1,200 or cut their bills by about $1,200 on that debt. And it'll also affect the rate of this year's, which is looking at about 4.8%. So still quite high, but not as high as before. And if the wage price index is traditionally a lot lower than the straight old CPI. So going forward, they'll be pegged to the lower of whichever one of those two is lower. So they will still rise every year, but not by anywhere near as much. And that will help with the costs that they were doling out after that incredible rise last year. So yes, $3 billion it's going to cost, but hopefully it'll make tertiary education slightly more affordable for people going forward, because it's a huge disincentive to go and study when you look at the size of the loans. And banks are looking at student loans and saying, no, we won't lend you any money for buying a house or anything else because you've got this massive loan and it looks like you can't pay it off. So it's been a huge problem politically for the government, economically for students, and hopefully they'll be working towards resolving it.
Now, a flare-up of sorts. I was having a Top Gun moment here, the original. There just seems to be... I know the bird goose. it seems like, well, what do we think happened in this business of a military aircraft discharging flares in the path of a Navy Seahawk helicopter, as has been reported? What happened and what's been the response?
Well, so the crucial point here is it was a Chinese military aircraft. You'll remember, and I'm sure you and I have spoken about this before, we had another incident involving the Chinese People's Liberation Army Navy and the Australian Navy last year, where sonar was let off in the vicinity of Australian Navy divers, and some of them were actually injured because of the pulsing in their ears. Now we've seen a Chinese aircraft fire flares in the path of an Australian Seahawk helicopter, and the helicopter was engaged in operations to enforce sanctions against North Korea in the Yellow Sea. And it had flown from, the HMAS Hobart, Australian ship, and this Chinese aircraft fired flares 300 metres in front of it and only 600 metres, I think, above it. So this was very close to the Australian aircraft and could have caused major damage. The Chinese are saying that they're not denying that this occurred. They're saying the Australian helicopter flew near China airspace in a threatening way. So they are implying there that this was an acceptable way to respond because they saw that an Australian aircraft was coming too close to Chinese airspace. But this is, we're in this strange situation, Catherine, where Australia, as we have spoken about definitely over the last few years, has had this frozen relationship with China. We've been in the deep freeze on trade and all other aspects of the relationship. That has started to thaw out since we saw a change of government in Australia, and the trade relationship is heading back to an equilibrium of sorts. But the security relationship really isn't. And we're seeing, despite the friendly diplomatic noises on one level, we're seeing these increasingly worrying security stoushes, in both cases involving Australian armed forces or military personnel who are engaged in legitimate international operations in the region. So this is a concern. Excuse me, I've got a frog in the throat today. The Australian government says it's raised this issue at every level. The opposition leader says the Prime Minister needs to pick up the phone to President Xi, who's currently in France, and express his disgust. We don't know whether he has or not, but certainly they are not impressed.
All right. Now, there's been the collapse of a domestic airline and its newest airline, and the story seems to get curiouser and curiouser.
We had an airline startup a couple of years ago called Bonza. Now, we don't have a great history of extra airlines aside from the major two airlines surviving in this country domestically. We've got Rex, which has hung in there, but and we've got Jetstar, that is the spin-off of Qantas effectively. But Bonza was setting out to be a niche, low-cost budget airline that was flying out of the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. But it collapsed recently, all of a sudden, around about the Anzac Day, what became a long weekend, which didn't impress travellers. The staff and the passengers keep being told that it will get back in the air, but now the staff have been told that they're stood down for at least another week, and the federal court has heard that the administrators that have been appointed to look at the airline situation, because it's gone into administration, that they can't actually access the airline's fleet, and that the lease has been cancelled and the fleet are going to leave the country. So that does not bode well for the airline restarting in this country. They've got five Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft, and there was a hope that they would be able to resume flying and honour some of those tickets for people who've had their flights cancelled or suspended. But it's not looking so terrific. And the administrators are going to convene a meeting of creditors. Now, Catherine, get this, there are 60,000 creditors for this airline. The meeting's going to be on Friday morning at 11 o'clock Australian Eastern Time. And apparently, at least 20,000 people are going to seek to participate. So good luck
Goodness.
to the people organising that, in
That's a lot
person
of
and
creditors.
online.
Yes.
That
Yeah.
is
All
a
right.
lot of people wanting to put their hand up and ask a question. Yeah.
Now, finally, a monster mollusk found where?
New South Wales South Coast, the town of Narooma has an annual oyster festival. This mollusk is 3 kilograms, and it's been nicknamed Jill. The farmer, we don't know why it's been called Jill. Before you ask, I've been trying to find out.
All the
But the
Jills in the
oyster farmer,
district will
whose
be
name is,
taking offence, I imagine, but anyway.
I'm sure there will be some bad jokes. But oyster farmer Bernie Connell is the owner of this oyster. He considers it to be a pet. He bought it when it was just a tiny little speck as part of a what I don't know what the collective noun is for oysters, but a bunch of oysters that he bought from Tasmania to grow on his oyster farm. So they're Pacific oysters. They do grow more quickly than the Sydney rock oysters. The rock oysters are a bit smaller. Apparently, the Pacific ones feed on a wider range of algae. But it got to 3 kilos. It's won the prize for Australia's heaviest oyster, and they reckon it could be the heaviest one in the world. But we have more pure rules about that than some other countries. Some other countries allow little piggyback oysters on top of the main oyster, which could actually boost the weight. So we are claiming here in Australia the world's biggest oyster, and let anybody tell us that it is not the case.
I wonder what it tastes like. He'd be
Well,
offended.
he says
Bernie'd be terribly
so he
offended by
said
that question.
Bernie says he will not be eating it. He does acknowledge that Pacifics don't taste quite as good as Sydney rock oysters, but he says it's a pet and he will be keeping it
She's one of the
and growing it.
family. She
And on, indeed. Yeah, and you had to have a vet certify that it was still alive. I'm not sure how you do that without opening the
Well,
oyster, but
it's all
anyway.
clammed up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see.
Indeed.
I want to see the real deal. But Jill's keeping her powder dry.
Well, and we don't know how much of it is oyster and how much of it is shell. This will be an eternal question for you and me,
I
Catherine.
wonder how long she can keep going.
She's been around for 9 years, I think, apparently.
Thank you, Karen.
She's doing all right.
Darren
Thanks, Catherine.
Middleton is political editor for The Guardian Australia.